Greetings, everyone. You are tuned in to another episode of Tall and Short of It podcast, where marriage and sports really aren't that different. And I am Erica, the highly touted, highly recruited, better half of this podcast show. And I am here with my awesome husband, Sean.
Hello, world.
So we thank you for tuning in for another episode. This one should be a doozy. We'll try to keep it at an hour, but it may go over a little over today because there are some pretty hot button topics to discuss today. So we'll just go ahead and get the housekeeping out of the way. Again, Tall and Short of It podcast. And the best way to find out about us and listen to this episode or past episodes is to go to tallandshortofitpodcast.com. And there you can find episodes, you can find contact information about us. Another way to listen to our podcast, we are on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic, and you just have to search Tall and Short of It Podcast. We also have a Twitter account, which is TASOIP. We live tweet a lot of sports from that account, and my husband does a great job of tweeting college football on Saturdays. So if you're a college football fan, definitely tune into that. And as the NBA season gears up, we'll start being able to do some live tweeting for that. And we do live tweeting for NFL games on Sunday and Monday and Thursday. So, and then we also have our individual accounts as well. Sean's Twitter account is at aceofdiamonds99, and I am at Super Sports Girl. So definitely check us out on Twitter. If you like our podcast, you should give our Twitter accounts a go as well. And we're pretty good follows. Now that we have the housekeeping out of the way, let's go ahead and dive into our podcast. What we'll get started with is the week that was. And we'll start with your Cowboys. Sean, they bounced back from that pretty devastating loss to the Lions. So did you want to go ahead and talk about your good old Cowboys?
Well, it was a bounce back win for us. A game that we should have won handily, was very close. The Vikings came to town, and Adrian Peterson really ran the ball well. And the Vikings played good. I felt like we played down to our competition, which is something that historically the Cowboys will do. And it's something that we have to play better, period. And I've been harping on it as far as injuries go, but looks like we're getting a bit healthy. We did lose Waters for the year, but we're getting DeMarcus Ware back. We're getting healthier in the secondary. But we still lead our division, you know. We're 5-4, lead our division by a game, and we got to go to New Orleans Sunday night and play the Saints. It's going to be a crazy environment. Keys to the game, we got to run the ball. We need to dictate the pace of the game, and we have got to play better on defense. We got to get pressure on Drew Brees. The Jets were able to confuse him into using timeouts that they needed later on in the game. They were able to get pressure. They hit Drew Brees. So they kind of gave the blueprint. So we'll see. Sunday night, game of the week. America will be watching America's team.
Yeah. Now, I did want to ask about this game because we watched it together, and why did the Cowboys abandon the run game? Like, the second half, they just kind of just went away from that. But I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Well, we won, so it worked. But I do agree with you. We do need balance on offense. I don't know if they're trying to forecast something for the Saints game or division games later on in the season. But we do need more balance. And DeMarco Murray just doesn't seem right. And he's a good back when he's healthy, but when he's not healthy, he's just not it. And it kind of makes me wonder, do we need to go another direction in the coming years? Because this guy, he's just an injury-prone guy. In the NFL, you're only as good as your availability. And I feel like they sat him because he was not available. He was not crisp. He didn't have that burst. Hopefully, you know, a game under his belt after the injury, he'll be back and ready to go. But we need him. We need him. We have adequate backups, but they're backups for a reason.
Yeah.
So I would like to see more balance and more ball control, and we need to dictate the pace of the game against New Orleans.
Yes. I just was really confused by that. It was just weird to me. And of course I have a vested interest because I do have DeMarco Murray and my fantasy football game. So, you know, the first half was looking quite promising, and then the second half I was just like, what is going on? And you did win, but they kind of gave you a little run for their money for being the for what their record is. I would say that. So yeah. Well, okay. So the next game that we'll talk about is my Colts won.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And, you know, we played the Houston Texans, and we came off a bye, but this was the first game in 12 years that we did not have Reggie Wayne. And so I do think that the wide receiver by committee, it took a minute, you know, it took a half, actually, for us to get it together, to, you know, get that chemistry going. But the second half, the adjustments were made, and I cannot speak in great detail about this because
yes, let's stay on topic for a second because okay, sports fans,
I had two straw burritos.
Okay, is what
anybody knows.
The score was what, 21-0. And
no, it was 21-3.
Oh, I'm sorry. They kicked the field goal. 21-3. And Erica, my wife, said, no, going to bed.
No, we laid here on the couch and we both said we were going to take power naps for halftime. We both said that.
But the Colts ain't my team.
Yes, but I was just like, I'm just going to take a power nap. And then we fell asleep and woke up, and I was so out of it. I was like, I'm going to bed. And before we got into bed, I was like, we're just going to come back. We're going to win it. And that'll be it.
I don't recall you saying
that. I said that. I remember that.
All I know is you didn't know.
This is what
happened, America. So,
oh, my gosh.
We go to bed.
Is this going to be like the highly embellished Sleepy Hollow story?
No, that Sleepy Hollow story is true. I get up. I go to the gym. I see what happens. As I'm working out, I come back. Erica's already up. I was like, hey, your Colts won. And she was like, yeah, I know. I was like, too bad you didn't see it. This is my thing. The Florida Gators, my team, were down 20-0 Saturday. And I sat on my couch and I watched every play. I watched the comeback.
They didn't play at 10:30 at night.
It doesn't matter. If you're a fan and that's your team, you sit on the couch and you watch them.
So now I'm not a fan?
You're not true.
Okay.
You're not true, blue.
All right. Whatever.
You know?
Whatever.
Ask the Tampa Bay fans, get up and leave? No. The Jaguar fans, get up and leave?
Yes.
No. The Houston Astro fans, get up and leave? No.
They don't watch the game. You know, they had a zero rating.
The Charlotte Bobcat fans, get up and leave? No. If you're a fan of your team, you watch the game.
I fell asleep.
But you should have took a nap beforehand. You knew they was playing. The Cowboys are going to play at 8:30
on
Sunday.
Well, I will remember not to cook you a nice hot meal before any Monday night Colts game.
Cooking ain't got nothing to do with it.
It did.
The fact of the matter is, your fandom has been challenged. And you, if I were a Colts fan, I would suspend you from all Colts paraphernalia, all Colts tweeting. The people you follow that are Colts fans need to block you for a 30-day period because you don't know what happened. You don't know.
I do know.
You don't know. You know per ESPN, but your eyes, you don't know what happened.
I saw the rewind.
All I'm saying is.
I saw the rewind.
All I'm saying is.
I saw the rewind.
Oh, on NFL Network where they skip the plays and stuff? Yeah. All I'm saying is, if you're a fan of your team, no matter what the score, you
It wasn't about the score.
And you, it don't matter.
I was
matter.
Sleepy.
So, who played that late game at 10:30? The Raiders and the Chargers?
I've never
Fans
watched
of
it.
Those teams, they were up watching.
Chances are they're on the West Coast.
It don't matter.
It does matter.
Like I said, the Cowboys play Sunday at 8:30. That game gonna go off at midnight. I'm gonna watch every play and get up Monday at 3:30 to go to the gym. Because that's the fan that I am.
You not off at any point. I am twit picking the
Do
picture
it.
Of you sleep.
Do it. Do it.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. So y'all just be on the lookout for pictures of Sean nodding and Vine videos of him nodding. I'm going to have to learn how to edit and put some music to it because it's going to happen. Anyway, so moving on, since my fandom has been challenged now, the next thing we're going to talk about is Aaron Rodgers. And he suffered a broken collarbone.
Yeah, and the hit didn't look that bad. But if anybody that's ever played football knows, when you brace yourself to fall on your shoulder, all of your weight plus the weight that's tackling you comes on your shoulder. And it happens, you know. I'm of the belief that I think they'll be okay simply because the Bears are, even though they have the same record as the Bears are playing their backup quarterback. Jay Cutler has come out and say, hey, don't listen to these reports. I don't know if I can play Sunday or not. So I think they're not going to run away. The Lions, I'm just not a fan. For all the great players on defense, you can score points on them. Stafford's going to throw you at least three opportunities during the game. So I think they're in a division where if Seneca Wallace can just hold serve, if Rodgers is out 4 weeks, go 2-2. I think they'll be fine.
You think it's just going to be 4 weeks?
They have had their bye, so every week is a game. But I just think they just need to hold pat, go 500. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be good. I really do.
So
Eddie Lacy is running the ball. The defense, they're going to start getting people back.
He's never ran the ball without him. He's never had to carry the team.
But this is the thing, though. Their receivers are going to start coming back in the coming weeks. The weapons will be there. Seneca Wallace.
Who?
Don't lose the game.
Who's coming back?
Just don't lose the game.
Greg Jennings?
Nope, he's with the Vikings.
Yeah. No, but, okay, so
Jermichael Finley's
not coming back.
Randall Cobb is coming back.
Okay.
Hey, you know, they paying him. So all I'm saying is I don't think the Packers are out of it and dead like people are saying.
I don't think they're completely
because,
dead. But.
Simply because I don't think that division is as strong as people think they are.
I think you can get out of hand within 2 weeks.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see. So now another team I wanted to talk about are the Seattle Seahawks because they keep having close calls. They almost lost to Tampa Bay.
Down 21-0. Yep.
Almost lost to Tampa Bay. And I believe in the Colts and I believe in how good we are, but nobody else did. We went in there and we beat Seattle. So I just, you know, it seemed to me personally that Russell Wilson is kind of having that sophomore regression.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. The NFL is a league to where if you don't bring your A game, you're going to get beat, and you're going to get embarrassed, and more than likely, you're going to get hurt. If you watch that game, they were very lackadaisical.
They had stupid penalties.
Which to me, and I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there. Pete Carroll is not a drill sergeant type of coach. He's a player's coach. Maybe the tone of the week wasn't as serious as it should have been. They felt like they were playing at home. Tampa Bay had to travel across the country. They're thinking easy win, you know.
Yeah.
I think ESPN poll was 97%. But, hey, Tampa Bay, they get paychecks too.
Yeah.
And they ran the ball well, and they ran right at Seattle. And my thing is, for Seattle to be with an 8-man rotation on that defensive line, they're getting 5-6 yards a pop. So I think that
it is
a little kink in the armor. But this is the thing, though. Seattle beats who they need to beat. They need to beat San Francisco. They have proven that they can consistently do that. And it is hard to win there. I think it's cause for concern. But we'll see. You know, the NFL is a week-to-week league. They didn't look good this week. Last week. They got a big game this week. We'll see. But I think it's a little cause for concern.
It's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. Are they going to play down to their competition? And then can they turn it up when they need to?
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, it's all, you know, half the season gone, so. What?
Now, this week.
Well, no. We're going to go ahead and tackle it.
All right. You know, I was trying for us to get into some college football, but you know, we got to talk about bullying in the NFL, and I feel kind of a special way about it a little bit.
Well, let's just, because maybe there is somebody that listens to this and they were kind of in a Call of Duty stupor or something and they don't know what's going on in the world. So the Miami Dolphins, was it maybe Saturday that he left? So the Miami Dolphins had an offensive lineman, Jonathan Martin. Reports came out that he left the team. He didn't say why. There was no statement issued from the Dolphins. There was no statement issued from Martin. It was just he left the team. And then Sunday, reports start coming out that it was due to bullying or harassment by another offensive lineman, his teammate, Richie Incognito. And I remember initially it was like because he made him stand up and sing a song in the lunchroom or whatever, the cafeteria, and he called him big weirdo all the time. And then there was this tirade by this Twitter rant by Incognito, because all of the media outlets were reporting it was his fault that Martin left. And so he was saying he wanted his name cleared and that, you know, basically he was trying to intimidate Adam Schefter specifically. Yep. So, you know, he gave an online version of his bullying right then and there. So, I guess by Monday, all the voicemail was released. And there was a couple of text messages or whatever that, well, initially Incognito released text messages saying, hey, I was checking on him. This is my guy. He called me bro. See, look, he called me bro. We cool. We good. I didn't do anything bad. I'm not a bad person. Check it out. Look. And then this voicemail comes out. And it has, he's calling him a half nigger. And he's just cursing up a storm, talking about him. And he ends it with, like, I'll kill you. And it's just been a downhill, dramatic spiral from there. You know, Incognito really hasn't said anything about the situation. A reporter, you know, tracked him down. He just said, hey, I'm weathering the storm. But it's just been a lot of people having their opinion about it. And So it's definitely something we are going to talk about as well. I definitely have my stance on how I feel like things would, you know, how things probably went, and you know, the stance on, you know, Incognito and Martin and the things that they did. But I'll let you start, Sean, and
well, this is my thing. We are called the Tall and Short of It podcast. If you follow us on Twitter, you click on our pictures on Instagram, you'll see Erica's 6'1", I'm 5'5". So I've been short all my life. And when I was a little kid, I was bullied a lot. Everybody was always bigger than me. My mom used to dress me really nice. You know, I had nice backpacks, nice shoes, just a clean cut guy, kept a nice haircut. But in growing up, we was poor. We lived in the hood, you know. So, yeah, I was, you know, I talked proper, and I was picked on. And my parents put me in karate, and but more importantly, they got me involved in sports. And I will never forget, my bullying stopped twofold. When the first year I played Pop Warner football, and I scored a winning touchdown, I ain't have a problem. And then I got into a fight in the fourth grade, and I got whooped, but I initiated it, and I got the last lick. And I've never had a problem since then, ever. And what I'll say is, I kind of do agree with Antrell Roll. By standing up for yourself, and I would have told Incognito this, like, look, this is the last time you call me this or talk to me like this. And I'd have hit him. And, you know, I know Dan Le Batard was talking about, hey, well, this guy bitches 600 pounds. And he going to have a well-whooped ass today. Or he's going to know that I'm going to be a handful. And I would have handled it like that. Because one thing I know is, man, law, and manhood. And if you intimidate or you try to intimidate me, then we're going to have a problem. Yeah. If you're going to talk to me any sort of way, we're going to have a problem. Now, like I said, I'm 5'5 and a half. I weigh 190 pounds. And I'm put together pretty good. I work out. You know, I enjoy it or whatnot. But I don't care if you 6'5", 350. You're not going to talk to me any type of way. You know, that dog ain't going to hunt. So I don't agree with how Martin handled it. I think he handled it the best way, what best fit him, which is the important thing.
Yeah.
You know, because, and you've talked about this, I would rather him walk away then go get a gun, come and back, shoot everybody. Yes. I agree with that. But I would have had, and if you've been in a locker room, fights last maybe 5 minutes. 5 seconds, excuse me. You hit him, he hit you, you push, y'all grab each other, and somebody break you up. You know, that is all it would have took. That's all it would have took. And Incognito would have known, like, man, okay, yeah, all right, let me back up. Oh, yeah, I done went too far. So, me, I prefer the aggressive approach, the macho approach. Martin went the other direction, which is totally fine, because I would like to think if it were my daughter that she would walk away. I think one of them will, the other one will probably fight, you know. But I just have, like, no tolerance for that bullying crap, man. I just because what I went through, and having to walk home by yourself, you know, being teased. And that's, it's not cool. It's not cool, but I expect and I hope that the NFL gets to the root of the problem and totally drops the hammer on the Dolphins, because I do think
if there was the NCAA, it would be a lack of institutional control.
And you know what? That fits. This is an organization. If you're going to suspend Sean Payton for a year
for that bounty gate thing,
for this bounty gate thing,
yep,
then you must come down on the head coach, the general manager from bringing Incognito in, who had a history of issues, and the owner. And I don't care what the penalties are. If it's a suspension of the coach, fine. If it's fining, I ain't got no problem with it. Draft picks, no problem with it. But this guy, I'd blackball him from the league. Roger Goodell, send a message. You do with everything else. And a lot of the times, it's over the top. They'll probably appeal it. But I guarantee you, public opinion, you will win.
Yeah.
You will win. Because how many times a month do we hear a story of a kid that was bullied and he freaking
commits suicide,
yeah, shoots up the school,
and
or just does something crazy?
Because they were bullied.
So,
this is the thing. I think that, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, the NFL and Roger Goodell, they are very image positive in the community. As far as setting role models for children, they do a lot of things with kids. They make players and teams interactive with their communities and children. This is something that affects children, you know, on a level, whether they play football or not, whether they're into football or not. And this is national headlines at this point. So you are going to have to do something to set the precedence that, hey, mom, young lady with your five-year-old kid, your son wants to play football. We are setting a precedence that, hey, these things are not okay, and they can look to us as a role model. It is okay for your son to play football. You know, that as a mother, that, I mean, this type of situation, and I had a kid trying to get into football, stuff like that would make me pause. Well, like, if it's on a professional level, kids who have no filter, then it got, you know, it's like, it's got to happen. If, you know, if it's not at the most professional level this is happening, then it gives me cause and concern for on the most basic level of football that is happening as well. And it may happen or not, but if the most professional level isn't setting the example for the basic level, you know, what do we have going on here? And as a mother, I would be highly concerned if nothing comes from this. And a lot of people talk about how Martin handled it. And the thing is, I do not think that Martin can go back to the Dolphins. Because
I agree with that. He can't go back.
There are so many players. Ryan Tannehill has come out and said that he would welcome both of them back. But he definitely took up for Incognito too. And he said that nobody knew anything that's going on, and that Richie Incognito never talked like that in the locker room, but they have a video of him drunk with Pouncey calling him a nigga. And former players are like, oh, he's an honorary black man, which whoever that former player is, how did you let that come out your mouth and you didn't cringe when you were saying that? Oh, he's an honorary black man. Oh, is he an honorary black man when it comes to going in a store and getting followed? Is he an honorary black man when it comes to being driving while black? He doesn't get to be an honorary black man then. So why would you ever say that? Ever say that? I cannot believe whoever that was, and for him to remain anonymous, he knows he was wrong for saying that. He knows he was wrong. That just, oh, how can you just say that? Well, but anyway, I will say this. I think that, you know, Martin not saying anything to the coaches or whatever, maybe that wasn't the best deal for him, but I think that the environment was just to the point where he didn't have anywhere to turn.
Well, and this is what I'll say too, and I'm tired. I read this on Twitter, and I heard some people talking about it in sports talk, like, how is this different from rookie hazing or whatnot? Let me tell you something. I'm in a Greek organization. I know all about hazing. I'm actually pro-hazing if it's done correctly. I do believe that if hazing is done correctly, it does tear you down, but if done correctly, it does build you back up into a better man or woman. So I'm all about that. But this ain't hazing. When a 6'3", 320-pound man says he's going to kill you, that is a threat. When he's using racial slurs, that is a threat. Practical jokes and stuff, okay, all right, you know, up to a certain extent. And I'll just go back to what I said earlier. I'd have punched him in the esophagus. I would. Or I'd try to break his nose. Because he needs to, and this is the thing. A lot of bullies, some have been bullied before, but a lot of them just ain't had their ass kicked. And that's what needs to happen to him. But the race card, I think, makes the situation volatile. And that's why I'm like, the NFL, you know, you've hired this independent guy. This don't need to go on longer than a week. It needs to be quick. It needs to be swift. And the punishment needs to be hard. You got to send a message. When you send messages, the punishment is over the top. It's supposed to be. Because you have to embed in people's minds that, okay, this is not okay. And wow, these are the consequences.
Yeah.
So,
as ridiculous as that year suspension was for Sean Payton, I bet anybody mentions the word bounty in a locker room, they like, hey, not here. Mm-mm. No. We can't have that. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, but because the precedent has been set. It's been set.
And
I
totally agree with that point that, you know, if it's over the top, the precedent is set and it stops. It should stop. And, this is the thing, that locker room, I just have the sense that all these people are out here caping for Incognito. It's like Mike Wallace is like, oh, well, you know, it was just cool. And I don't understand how you can't read personalities. And for Incognito to think it was okay with Martin when it was probably obvious that he wasn't into that or he didn't find that comfortable is further a problem with Incognito's personality and his ability to have highly functioned social interactions with people.
Well,
because that means that you have labeled black people a monolith. Marquise Pouncey, I can call you a nigger. Wallace over here, I call him a nigga and he says nothing. So, hey, Martin, you're black. I can call you a nigga too and that should be okay.
Well, and I mean, we can get into the N-word conversation anytime, but to me, I felt like other people didn't say anything because it's kind of uncomfortable. What do you say?
Leave him alone.
That's not gonna stop it. That's not gonna stop it.
But
it's not gonna stop it.
Yes, it should.
It should, but it won't.
Okay, so where does it stop? So there was no player on that team that noticed that uncomfortable interaction between them two, or how he was so distant. He wasn't talking to that boy did not talk to anybody. If nobody knew on the team, then he didn't talk to anybody. He didn't have an interaction with anybody.
There are two ways that situation could have been stopped. Strong veteran leadership, which apparently they do not have.
They're a bunch of clowns.
And then, to me, a physical altercation. Or you need to stand up in his face and slap the shit out of him.
But he was intimidated by him. And that's the thing. Everybody's not the same. And just because you play football doesn't mean that when I'm not on that field, I just feel like confronting people all the time. That boy was tired of that. And see,
this is the thing, though.
He was on the...
At some point, as a man...
But he's doing it now.
You were in his own way.
He's doing it in his own way.
In his own
way. And that's the thing. It's like people keep bringing up, oh, well, you know, he was raised by two lawyers, and it's not the fucking Cosby Show, and it shouldn't be like, it's like some kind of exception, and he was a special soft black man because his parents were lawyers and they went to Harvard. Now, if it's anybody else in the NFL and they're white and their parents went to Harvard and their parents are lawyers, it's not even special. But since he's black, then it's special that his parents went to Harvard. So they, you know, and even the players in the locker room said this, that Incognito was more black than Martin was less black. Wow. And that is just ridiculous. But what my original point, I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping over, was this thing is, A, he didn't tell anybody. He doesn't talk to anybody on that team. Nobody knew, then that means he didn't talk to anybody. And any type of player that was, you know, they just kind of probably blackballed him anyway because he didn't talk to them. So they was just like, whatever. Nobody stepped up, asked him what's going on. Nobody even mentioned it to the coaches. Like, hey, you know what? Martin don't talk to nobody. Can you find out why? Nobody said anything. And that's just a failure of a locker room.
It's a failure of a locker room. Like I said, no veteran leadership. No veteran leadership. Does that happen on the Ravens?
No.
Does that happen on the Steelers?
No.
You know? So, I don't know. I guess I'm just at the point to where I hope Martin is okay emotionally. I hope he can get back in the league. Incognito, fuck you.
I hope you have to go sell cars in the ghetto.
that was good. I really don't care what happens to him, but I'm very interested to see what the punishment is going to be. I really am. And if they sweep this under the rug, I do feel like you do. I do think they'll take a hit from a public relations standpoint. And Roger Goodell talks all the time about the shield. And this may not be a popular shield topic, but it's a topic worth it's a topic worth protecting, because if this slides by, who knows what will happen the next time. The next time you may not have
somebody that's mature enough to just leave.
You know, and you know, we may have a tragedy. Who knows? So, I don't know. I mean, we can wrap this up.
I cannot see there not being any type of punishment. To come down on the Dolphins and Incognito. I think that the owner of the Dolphins, honestly, you know, I would fire the coach. Because if you don't know what's going on with your team at all, and this is 2 years worth of mess going on. Nobody asked, nobody found out what happened in OTAs, why he didn't come. Because even though it's voluntary, everybody still goes. And for him to be a second round draft pick, and you know, I was reading today that a lot of people moved him down on their draft boards because when they interviewed him, they said that he didn't seem, you know, really passionate about football. And so I would assume that the Dolphins had the same type of interview. So if you know this, and he misses OTAs, and you don't follow up, you don't get to the root of this, then what are you doing? You're not paying attention. You asleep at the wheel.
Well, if you fire the coach, you got to fire the general manager, too.
He can go.
Kick rocks. Like I said, I don't think it'll go that far. If it does, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think it'll go that far. But it's just a sad situation. I hate when off the field topics dominate the NFL season. This is one of those things, because we got a really good season, and the Dolphins had a big win last week. Got a big game on Monday night.
Yeah.
The world's watching, but instead of we're talking about X's and O's on the pregame, we're gonna have to talk about this.
Yep.
So you know, we'll see how
I do
goes.
Think that's why Goodell is going to wrap it up pretty quickly, because it is going to, I mean, to drag it out and all of that is going to help. It is going to affect their season. I mean, this is affecting them currently anyway. It is two starting offensive linemen that are no longer with the team, which, you know, makes a big impact as well. So, you know, I don't think he'll drag it out just because it is in season. He can't just take the luxury of, like, you know, it'll happen when it happens.
Well, yeah.
Because this negative press just dominating, you know, your headlines for national news, people that don't even pay attention to football is paying attention to this, I think he wraps it up pretty quickly. One thing Roger Goodell does not do, and that's negative press. He be on it. So, well, we'll tackle that. Just got that out the way. Let's go ahead and move on to the upcoming week in sports.
Yes.
So
yes.
I did kind of want to talk about the 76ers, but we are kind of running short on time, and they lost again tonight, so they're 3-2. They're back to earth. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out for them. Saturday, Dallas plays Oklahoma City. Westbrook is back. And the Mavericks off to a good start, so I think that should be a pretty good matchup to watch.
I'll go with OKC all day. I believe that once Westbrook gets his legs back under him, and I really think OKC is going to give the Heat the run for their money, if the Heat can get out the East, but that's a whole nother show topic. But I like OKC. KD is on a mission this year. I think he's going to be the MVP of the league. I think he's going to lead the league in scoring. He's going to rise up, and on a big stage, he's going to do it. So,
well, you know, it will be interesting, because I read an article where he was saying that he's no longer obsessed with winning. He was saying, like, last year it just consumed him, and he's like kind of like let go. So I think usually when you stop obsessing about something, then something great happens for you. When it's like, okay, you know, it's more, you know, you let go of that tunnel vision and you kind of like take in the world and take in the experience as it happens, it, you know, good things can happen. So I would definitely like to watch Oklahoma during the season and see how Durant does. Gonna move on to college football.
Yes.
So this Thursday is probably the first Thursday in forever where I will definitely watch college football over an NFL game.
Well, this Thursday, and I don't know who scheduled this, but, you know, God damn it. You got Oregon and Stanford at 9 o'clock. At 7:30, you got Baylor and Oklahoma. Also, I'm having drinks after work because one of my coworkers is leaving. So, I got a packed Thursday afternoon. So, this is my thing. I'm picking Baylor to beat Oklahoma. I think Baylor's got way too many bullets.
700 yards a game.
For Oklahoma. And I think that Baylor is ready. I think if you have not watched the Baylor Bears play, if you like a lot of offense and you like a lot of pitching and catching, then tune in. Because it is worth the price of admission.
If you are more into basketball than you are into college football, just think of Baylor as running a continuous fast break.
Yeah, I mean, and they spread you out, but they spread you out in a way to where they flood zones with routes. If you're playing man, it's a lot of double moves. They dictate to you. And as a defense, you just can't have that. So I think that's going to be good. Now, I think Oklahoma is going to try to out-physical them and be a bully a little bit. But when you try to be outside of your realm in the physical aspect, you miss tackles, get some penalties, overrunning plays, and they'll make you pay. So I'm taking Oklahoma. And I hate to say what I'm about to say, Oregon is going to beat Stanford.
They're say gonna, it again, say it again.
Oregon's going to beat Stanford.
How did that taste?
DeAnthony Thomas has come out saying they're going to put 40 up on Stanford. America, this is not the same Stanford team that won 17-14 in overtime last year. Linemen are gone. Tight ends are gone. They gave up 29 points to Utah. I just don't see them. Now is Oregon going to score 50 on them? No. Do I think they'll score in the 30s? Yes, I do. I think Mariota's ready to go. The only thing is Stanford is playing at home. So we'll see.
But Stanford doesn't have an intimidating environment.
No, but I mean, it's comfortable. You know, the crowd will be behind them. Yep, home is home.
But it's not Death Valley at night.
It's not. But I guarantee you there will be a lot of drunk Cardinal in the stadium. So, but I don't see it happening. I really don't. But the game of the week is in the SEC.
Isn't it most time the game of the week is in the SEC?
Where the Tigers of Louisiana State University go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to play
T-Town.
The Tide of Alabama. Now, this is Vegas says Alabama's a 10.5 or 11-point favorite in the game. I do think the game will be close because the matchup of LSU's wide receivers, Beckham and company, I do think the advantage goes to them over Alabama's secondary, but I don't trust Zach Mettenberger. I don't. He's not the guy. On the road, crowd is going to be crazy. Alabama will be physical and test their manhood and run that ball. McCarron does not make mistakes. You know, last year's game where they came back on that last drive.
We were at your sister's birthday party.
Yes, we were driving back. I'm just going with Alabama. I think Alabama will win by a touchdown, maybe double digits. But I think it'll be a good physical game. If you want to see
what's
some hidden, 10.5 or 11. If you want to see physical football, then that's going to be the game for you. It's going to be the game for you.
Now, for the forgettable game, which is the NFL game, it's Washington at Minnesota Thursday night. Yeah, I don't know. You just keep waiting. I mean, Robert Griffin III has not had a he hasn't had a complete game this season. And I know he's getting back healthy or whatever, but I mean they really don't have a choice, so it doesn't matter, but it just really, you know, it's, I don't know, I would be concerned if I was a Redskins fan, like, what's going on?
Well, this is the thing, though. If Adrian Peterson gets going and they are dictating the pace of the game and they're going to force, if they can stop the read option, then Washington will be in trouble. But I don't know. I'll be pulling for the Vikings because, you know, Cowboys fan, I hate the Redskins. So I'm hoping that they can pull it out. But I kind of think this one is a toss-up. I don't know. Can they get Adrian Peterson going? Can they have some sort of a passing game to open it up a bit?
You know, and I will say last week, you know, they had that was it overtime? They went into overtime, right? Yeah, they had the overtime win. And Alfred Morris finally had a really good game. Hopefully he can get going again because he is key in their offense, and you know, him having a good game should help Robert get better and, you know, get back to his rookie year stride that he was in, you know, last year. So maybe we'll see that happen again where they'll, you know, look to the running the game again, and Alfred Morris can get running as well. So a game, I know that you mentioned it at the top, but the Cowboys go to the Superdome, right?
Yep, going to play the Saints. Two first place teams battling it out. One team coming off of a win, the Cowboys. The Saints coming off of an upset loss to the Jets of New York. I am a believer in Drew Brees. So, you know, I feel like he'll be prepared and ready to go. Sean Payton kind of has an axe to grind with the Cowboys organization. But if Darren Sproles doesn't play, I think that kind of levels the playing field a bit. I really do. We got to find a way to cover Graham. We need to turn them into a one-dimensional team. And like I said, we got to hit Drew Brees and be physical with their receivers. But this is a game historically that the Cowboys do not win. But there is something different about this team. And I would not be surprised at all. And I'm hoping that we go to New Orleans and we come back with some beads.
Shock the world?
Yeah, we come back with some beads, you know?
I don't know. I think that I do think that the Saints will bounce back, and they will I don't think they're going to suffer the same fate that they suffered last week. And I do think that I think you guys are going to keep it close. Definitely into the fourth quarter. I don't expect a blowout by the Saints. I expect it to be close, and I know I hate to say this because, you know, I know you love your Cowboys, but Romo's going to go full Romo in the fourth quarter, and he's going to give them one.
Okay. You know, and you're entitled to your opinion. That's fine, even though we had a game-winning drive and won the game Sunday.
Yeah.
8-for-8 on the last drive.
That's
but,
just...
you know, it's all good. It don't look, we don't need anybody else to root for us.
Yeah.
Because I'll be up the entire game rooting for the Cowboys because they my team.
So, Romo, you can watch Romo go full Romo when it matters most.
Y'all just beat the Rams. Beat the Rams.
We will. Okay. And then, you know, I was looking up some information for the show and doing show notes. And I was looking at the NFL schedule. And if you look at the NFL schedule on ESPN, they'll show you how many tickets are left for each game during the week. And yesterday, it was like right at 5,000 tickets available for the game for the Arizona Cardinals. They're playing at home, but they are facing the god-awful Houston Texans. So, but Case Keenum, you know, he shouted out Third Ward on Monday Night Football. So, you know, Third Ward Keenum, you know, kind of lit us up in the first half. So, you know, I guess maybe that spurred some ticket sales, because today it's about 3,000 tickets available, but tickets are as low as $8. That is some good family fun if you in Arizona. Cheap family fun. Go see the Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald play Third Ward Keenum for $8.
And I can tell you, having never been to the stadium, but I've driven by the stadium, it's pretty nice. But it's just a lot to do in Arizona, man. I mean, the weather is nice, you know. You got women walking around half naked.
No, you don't.
You got cactuses and stuff. I mean,
it's the desert. It get cold at night.
But
it's cold there.
In the daytime, though, okay, all right, I'm just saying.
It's much more to do in some of these other cities, and they don't have nearly as many tickets available. And $8, you know, that just really stood out to me. But, you know, Minnesota has tickets available from $11. So, you know, if your nose isn't prone to bleed easily, I would say you can definitely take advantage of these prices and see an NFL game in either of these two cities if you happen to be there. So that is about it for us. Random thoughts. Did you have any random thoughts, babe?
Just really quickly. This is the thing. We all have jobs, and everybody has a boss. And every now and then, you got to do things that you don't want to do. Just do them. Don't complain, because you're getting paid. Just do them. So many of my peers want to complain about stuff that ain't even relevant. Man, our boss told us to do this. Just do it. Just do it. Don't gripe and bitch about it. Sending emails and calling people when I'm trying to do what my boss asked me to do.
And hit that reply all.
Yeah.
I don't care about this conversation. Why did you hit reply all?
So my random thought for the week is this. We all have to do things that we don't like to do. And I get that. But don't complain about them. You getting paid. Just do it. Do your job. Period. That's it.
All right. I had a random thought for like a couple of weeks ago. And I just remembered what it was. I had to write a note to myself. I'm so bad. I guess I'm getting old. Whatever. Sean and I went to one of our favorite bars, Kickbacks, and it was this guy. First off, okay, so Kickback is a beer drinker's heaven. They have like 80 beers on tap. They got all these different bottles, and it's just, you know, it's local, it's IPAs, it's everything. Beer drinker's heaven. So I see this guy, and well, we see one guy. He has a beer, but it has sugar on the rim. So Sean and I kind of talked about that and was like, what the hell? That's kind of douchebaggish. Why would you get a beer and put sugar on the rim? So then I look in the other direction, and it's another guy, another man, with a beer with sugar on the rim. But then to top his douchebaggishness off, he has an electronic cigarette. And he just has it and he's dragging on it. And when you take a drag from the cigarette, it lights up at the end like a glow stick. So now you're just smoking on a glow stick. What is the purpose of the electronic cigarette? Except to look like a total douchebag. Like, if you are a smoker, either you're proud of it or you're not, just get a freaking cigarette. Just get a real cigarette, go outside like normal smokers do, smoke your cigarette, and you come back inside. But to sit inside smoking on a glow stick is the dumbest thing I've seen in a very long time.
He wouldn't be doing it if some woman didn't find it cool.
That man ain't getting laid with no glow stick in his mouth.
Somebody will fuck him.
I guess. Well, glad it ain't me. Anyway, this is another episode of Tall and Short of It podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We endured the hour. I shoveled Chipotle in my mouth so we could get this done. And I am sitting here fat and full, but thanks to you guys and your support, you know, plow through it. So tune in next week, and hopefully we will not have to talk about bullying too much and just talk about what's on the field or on the court. So until then, we will see you guys later.
Have a good one.